I'll tell you what, we're going to take a test this morning. Everybody up for a test? The test of religion is what we're going to take a test of. Let me ask you a question this morning. What do you think about religion? I'm going to tell you what, I'm one of those type of people, I don't care much for religion. I'm just going to put it up here to you right now. I don't care much for religion at all. What I care about is seeing people saved. What I care about is seeing people accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Religion never done anything for no one. Religion's never done a thing for a single person. And you know what? I can even back it up in the Word where Jesus didn't really care for religion or religious people either. And I'll get to you here in a little bit. But we're going to take a test on religion this morning here in a little bit. I'm going to be over in James, the first chapter, in the 26th and the 27th verse. And we'll get down to it here in just a little bit. You know, when it comes to the Word of God, how receptive are you to the Word of God? And how responsive are you to the Word of God once you receive it into your heart? That's a question each and every one of us has to answer, that question right there. How receptive are you? And then again, how responsive are you to the Word of God? You see, receptivity and responsiveness must be coupled. It has to be coupled with a new way of living. When you receive the Word of God into your heart and you're receptive up to it, I want you to know something this morning. When you do that, you are going to have a new way of living your life. There's just no doubt about it. You cannot help but change when the Word of God comes into your life. I want to tell you something this morning. There will be a change in your life. You will not be the same person that you are. You will not go back doing the same things that you did. I mean, you will change. Your life will change. When the Word of God comes into your heart and you're receptive to it, and then again, when you're responsive to it, you will change. You have no course but to change. You have none. We must continuously be obedient, consistently be practicing what God is teaching us to do. We have to consistently do that. You know, we were talking about the Word of God here this morning and about how that we read it and that how sometimes we read it and we don't get out of it sometimes what we read. And it happens to even the best. It happens to me. It'll happen to you in your life. If you read the Word of God, you're not going to always totally understand what's before you. But I want to tell you something this morning, and I believe this wholeheartedly. You will understand what God wants you to understand when He wants you to understand. You will do that. It isn't up to us. It's in our own selves. We will never be able to understand the Word of God. I want you to know, before I was saved, the convicting power of God was upon my life for a while there before I got saved. And I tried to get the Word of God out, and I tried to read it. We had an old family Bible back at the house, and the only thing that thing was good for back then was to collect dust because none of us went to church. But I had aunts and uncles that did, and the convicting power of God for my life. So I got that Bible out and I started reading it. And it was a King James Version. Thou shalt do this, thou shalt not. You know, I got to read it. I said, man, well, I can't understand this. But the night that I got saved, and I picked up that Bible, and the Holy Spirit of God in my life started working. I started reading the Word of God, and it wouldn't have made no difference what kind of Bible it was. God started revealing things to me through His Word, and I began to understand it. But if you do not know, if you do not understand, and you are not saved, and you're trying to understand the Word of God, it will not happen. And yes, and you know what? Can I say this? It ain't going to happen. Is that right, Brenda? That's good English, right? It ain't going to happen. Because why? Because you know why? Because we do not understand with the spiritual eyes that we need to look through. But you know what? What truly on the inside, when we were receptive to the Word of God and respond to it, you know what truly is on the inside is going to come out. Right? It will come out of our life. Whenever the Word of God gets down in my heart and gets down in your heart and you understand it, I want you to know something. That Word gets embedded in my life, gets embedded in your life, and you know what? It can't help but come out of you. It can't help but come out of you. I will tell you, it will do that. The people who give Jesus the hardest time were the religious folks. Let's get understand that right now. The religious folks are the one that gave Jesus the hardest time over in Matthew 23. If you don't believe me, read down through Matthew 23 and you'll see what I'm saying. You know what Jesus told them? He said in Matthew 23:28, even so you are outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Jesus knew that religion was not going to get. He knew it. And he knew that if a person seemed religious, that doesn't mean that they are what they say that they are. You can see the best person that could God, and I say this all the time, and I mean this wholeheartedly. I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care how much you read the Bible. If you do not have Jesus as your personal Savior, you are as lost as a drunk that is out here on the street. You are as lost as a homosexual that practicing homosexuality. You are as lost as a drug addict. If you do not have Jesus in your heart, He has to come into your heart. He has to be in there. And Jesus knew these were religious people. The scribes and the Pharisees were the most religious of their time. They were. See, Jesus wanted them to have a one-on-one relationship. He wanted them to have that. And I want to tell you something this morning. If you are sitting here this morning and you do not know Him personally, I want you to know something this morning, that He wants to have a one-on-one relationship with you. You don't have to come up here and shake my hand. You don't have to come up here and get cozy with the preacher to be saved. You don't have to do that. What you need to do is that whenever the Holy Spirit is convicting you, you need to come up here and get on your knees, and you need to accept Jesus in your heart and have a one-on-one relationship with Him. And I want to tell you something. You are fit for the kingdom of heaven right then and there. Amen? You are fit. You are a fit subject for the kingdom of heaven. Now afterwards, I'll tell you what, you need to go find a hole in water somewhere and be baptized. I believe that. But I want to tell you something this morning. To be saved, you need to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. That is what I want to tell you this morning you need to do. You need to do that. And you know what? The religions, all the religions in this world cannot save you. This church here cannot save you. The Church of the Nazarene cannot save you. The Church of Christ cannot save you. The Catholic Church cannot save you. It takes Jesus Christ living in your heart. It takes Him coming in your heart. Amen. People are not willing. They're not willing to enter these people. I want to see that's what's wrong with a lot of the church world today. I'm going to get to my scripture. I'll get to my point. I'll start preaching here in a little bit. I'll get to my point here in a little bit. The church world is a lot like that today. They are not willing to accept the teachings that Jesus Christ put in His Word. They're not willing. They don't want to accept His teachings. And I want to tell you something. A church that is not willing to accept Jesus Christ's teachings into their heart and into their ministry, I'm going to tell you what, I'll say this without remorse, that is a dead church. That is a church that is not going to make anybody happy, not going to help anybody's soul, because we've got to be willing to preach the unadulterated Word of God, and we've got to preach it without remorse. We've got to preach it without backing down, because that's what we got to do, the willing to teach, to surrender His teaching. Not willing to be responsive or responsive. 2 Timothy 3:5 tells us best. We said it like this. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Get away from it. Get away from it. If you know what? If they have a form of godliness, if they just like gathering and just pretending like they're having church, I don't like to pretend like I'm having church. I'll tell you what, I like to feel the Holy Spirit of God move in my life. I like to feel the Holy Spirit moving in the church. I don't like to have a form of godliness, man. I don't like it. And I'll tell you what, if we ever decide to do that, we might as well shut the door, because we're not going to be doing anybody any good. We're not going to do that. In James 1, 26 and 27, let's read it there now. If any man among you seem to be religious, and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is, say it with me, vain. That's what it is. That's what it says. Then it goes on to verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. My, oh my. I'll tell you what, can we not learn a lesson in them two verses of Scripture right there? This is a test we're going to take today. There's a three-part test, you know, it's about being religious. This is what James is trying to tell us here. There's three parts to it. The first one is how we control our speech. The second one is, you know, how compassionate deeds do we do? Why do we do compassionate deeds? And the third one is, we need to live a cleansed life. Amen? And that's, if you want to talk about true religion, if you want to talk about a religion right there, is based in those two little verses. If you take that test and you apply it to each and every one of our lives in here, I want you to know something this morning. That test, whether or not you fail it, or whether or not you pass it, can determine where you're going to spend eternity. It can determine that. Listen to me. This is a test we will need to take now and again in each one of our hearts. We need to do that. James is writing to the Jewish Christians and to the Jews. If you back up in the first verse of that chapter, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom the 12 tribes which were scattered abroad, and greetings. He was talking to the Jews and especially to the Jewish Christians of that time. That's exactly who James was talking to. I want you to get that in. You know what? Because they were big on ceremonies. They were big on them. They were big on observing the Sabbath. They were big on special religious holidays. They were big on public prayers and public worship. They were big on all that stuff because they thought that if they had that stuff down pat and they did it right to the T, that was all they needed, Dale. They thought that's all that they needed. I want to tell you something. I said this last Sunday, I believe, and I'll say it again this morning. Just because you say you're a Christian does not make you a Christian any more than you standing in a car in a garage makes you a car. You know what? It takes more. It takes more than that. We've got to have it. We've got to have it inside. It's got to be something that we know beyond a shadow of a doubt. The old preacher, I say this, I say it all the time. The old preacher, old Junior Albert, used to say it over at church all the time. He said, I know that I'm saved. There's no doubt in my mind that I'm saved. And I want you to know something this morning. There's no doubt in my mind that Dave Long is saved here this morning. I know it. The Holy Spirit. If there's one else of doubt in your mind this morning, I want to beg you to run to this altar this morning. I want to beg you to get up here. If the Spirit is working on you, to get up here and let's pray. That's what James knew, that many of these things seemed pious to him. They were very pious to him. They would go through the external, they would get through these external performances. They'd have all this outward stuff going on, and they had this religious rituals down pat. They had them down pat. How can you tell? How can you tell if the external is real or not? How can you tell if what somebody's doing on the outside is real? How can you tell? And you say, well, preacher, you're not supposed to judge. Listen to me. By their fruits ye shall know them. Amen? You're not judging the intent. You're judging what they're doing and why they're doing it. You're allowed to do that. You're allowed, the Bible says that one can do all forms of religious activity, yet it may not be genuine. The Bible tells us that. That can be done. Why? Because it does not come from the heart. That's why. You know what? The first test we're going to do this morning is, can we control our tongues? Amen. Oh my. Yeah, look, can we control our tongues? Let's just ask ourselves. One way to know if a person of true religion is if they have controlled their tongue. James goes into great detail. He goes into great detail explaining why it's important that we control our tongues, right? Listen to what he says right there. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Listen to what it says over here in 3:6 of James. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body. It setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. In this verse right here, he talks about, in verse 26, he talks about bridling the tongue. He talks about that, and he said the lack of binding it, what it means. So what does it mean if we have an uncontrolled tongue? James uses the example, and those of you in here who handle horses know what he's talking about. You can put a bridle on them, and you put a bit in their mouth. Why? Why? So you can make them and control them. Am I right? Right, because why? Because that bit bites into their mouths and you can control them horses, right? There we go. And James uses that example to talk about individuals who cannot control their tongues. He used that same example. He's telling us that through the control of your tongue, we learn to control the whole body. If you take that bridle and that bit, you can control that horse. You control the rest of that horse. No matter how big that horse is, if you put that bit and that bridle on them, then you can control that horse. Am I right? You guys that operate horses know what I'm talking about probably better than I do. But I'll tell you what, you can control them. And I want to tell you something. If we can control these tongues that are in our mouths, if we can do that, we can have control over the rest of this body. We can do that if we can control these tongues. That's what he's trying to tell them. That's what he's trying to say. He said, large, there was a guy, and I'll tell you this story about this guy. He was a salesman. He sold this large earth-moving equipment. And one of the equipment, one of them had G on it. It was G1900, whatever it was, earth mover. Well, anyway, he went to sell it. And when he went to sell it, this true story, this guy asked him, he said, what's the G mean? And the guy, the salesman, had no idea what the G meant. So he made up this little thing on the side of it. He said, this machine moves stuff just like gossip moves. It moves a lot of it and moves it pretty fast. He said, it stands for gossip. So what's the G stands for? Is that not the truth about gossip? Is that not the truth about it? I'll tell you what, once it gets started, it can move fast, and it can move hard, and if a bunch of it can move one time whenever gossip starts. I want to tell you something, folks. The next time that the devil taps you on the shoulder and you're tempted to say something and gossip about something or someone, listen to me. Put it aside. Put the bit in your mouth. If you have to, get the Word of God and read it. Put it in there and put a control on it. Amen? We need to do that. Lord, we need to do that. Praise God. You know what? James is telling us that to help us, no matter how spiritual we think that we are, we all need to control this mouth of ours and this tongue sometimes. Do we not? No matter how spiritual we think we are. You know what? Imagine this. James says, for the tongue is an unruly horse that needs bit and bridle. You know what? To check its wild tendencies. And brothers and sisters, there are some of us sometimes that have wild tendencies with our mouths to run them and to say stuff that we should not say. And I'll tell you what, we need to get it under control. Amen? This is always the first test. If we have not tamed our tongue, religious activity is worthless also. Do you know that? Do you see what it's saying right there? It says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridle his tongue, but deceive his own heart, this man's religion, and say it with me again, is vain. That means it's worthless. Anything that you do, if you cannot bridle your tongue, if you cannot do that, all the religious things that you think you do in your prayer life, the things that you stand up, your testimony, all the things that you do that you think you're doing for the Lord, if you cannot bridle your tongue, he's saying that all this stuff is vain. It's worthless. It's of no account. If you cannot bridle your tongue, it means useless. Vain means useless. Also deceiveth his own heart. This is what's very dangerous about this. When it says the last part of that, it says, the next last part, but he deceiveth his own heart, you're misleading yourself. How many in here like to be deceived? Let me see your hands. I didn't think so. If you've been deceived in your life about anything, it upsets you, does it not? Does it not make you mad sometimes? Does it not make you very mad sometimes if you've been deceived by somebody or something? Well, what James is telling us here, if you cannot bridle your tongue, you are deceiving yourself. How mad should that make you? How mad should that make you at the devil for doing that to you, letting him do that to you, deceiving you, and you thinking that everything's all right, whenever it's not, and you keep going right on and using your mouth for nothing, for anything else. You know what we need to use our mouth for? It's to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do. You're misleading yourself. You're in danger. Such a person, you know what? Listen, such a person, it feels religiously that they're okay. And they're deceiving themselves. But in reality, he or she, listen to this, possesses only a counterfeit Christianity. Whenever you are not able to tame your tongue, your Christianity is a counterfeit. You're deceiving yourself. James also pointed particularly to worship of idols. Whenever he was talking here, he's talking to the Jews and how, you remember how that they were a long time there, they were worshiping idols? And he told him, he said, whenever you are using your tongue for something that it should not be used for, if you're not, he said, it's just like just like whenever your ancestors had worshipped idols, whenever they bowed to an idol and it was worthless, it meant nothing. Those idols could not do nothing for them. And so whenever you're using your tongue and your mouth for something that should be done, all that your religious activity is vain. That's what he's trying to say. Man, I'll tell you what, that's strong. To me, that is very strong. When I got to reading this, all we need to do is pray like the psalmist did over in 141:3. Mark this in your Bible. Mark it down and read this later if you want to go back over. But it says, set a watch, O Lord, over my mouth. Mark it in yellow. And listen, set a watch, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep the doors of my lips. Wow. Isn't that strong? Isn't that powerful? The Word of God is like that. The next time you feel led to do that, think of Psalms 141:3 and say, Lord, set a watch, O Lord, over my mouth. We need it. We need it. I need it. We all need it. I'll tell you something else, too, that he's telling us here in the 27th verse. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is to visit the fatherless and the widows. Listen to me. But for God to view their acts as pure, you know what? For God to view those acts as pure, they have to be something done that's coming directly from the heart. Whenever we do these acts of kindness, they were talking about the fatherless and the widows here. But you know what? It goes so much deeper than that. It had to come from the heart. It wasn't something that we need to do just because we think it's out of our religious duty to do it. That's not it. What he was trying to tell us is that it has to be done directly from our heart. We've got to be willing to do it. We have to do it from our heart, not because we feel like we're obligated to do it. Amen? People are more pure than us. We are to help out the less fortunate than us. We are to help them out. Listen to me. We are to visit them in their crisis, are we not? Amen. We take personal interest in people's lives. Take a personal interest and express loving concern, comfort and sorrow. And I go, oh, give assistance where it may be required of us as a church to do so or as an individual. Listen to me, folks. You want pure religion and undefiled before God. This has got to be part of it. It has to be part of it. Pure religion and undefiled. You're taking this test this morning. How are you coming through with it so far? What do you feel about it so far? Are we able to say, I've aced it? Or are we saying, well, I don't know about that? You see what I'm saying? We've got to be able to, Romans 51, when we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Amen? Galatians 6:2, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill ye the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? Christ said, listen to me, whenever Christ was talking, he said, love one another. Did he not? He didn't back down from no one. He didn't go away from anyone. He said, love one another. Listen to me, I know we have to be good stewards of God's money. Don't take me wrong on this. I know that. We just can't haphazardly throw money out there. But I want you to know something. We've got to be willing to help and have a spirit of help, a spirit of love. And I tell you what, I am so proud of this church for doing what they do in here. We help, and we continue to help, but let's never lose sight of the fact that it's not an obligation. Brothers, it should be something we should continue to do because we love people. When we give with no hope of anything and coming back in return, that's how we should give. Christ did it. Christ never expected anything back in return. Whenever all the things that he did, and as Christians, whenever we do this, whenever we, the pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father, listen to me, we've got to be willing to give with no hope of ever receiving anything back from it, right? The more unselfish we become, the more heavenly joy we will experience. Amen? We will do that. The more we do that. The true test of a Christian is to help those who cannot help and cannot give in return. Amen. We can do that. The third thing I want to talk about is included in the, we've got to have a, listen, and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. That's hard for the Christian community today to do. It is hard. I see too much of it going the other way. We want to act too much like the world. We do that. We want to act too much like the world sometimes. There is an animal over in Europe called Emon, something like that. It's a little white creature in northern Europe. Anyway, how they hunt it is, what they will do, this thing is white, and it keeps its fur immaculate. Keeps it a brilliant white. I guess it's up in the northern part where there's some kind of snow, maybe up in Russia or somewhere up in there where there's snow. Anyway, you cannot see it whenever there's snow, but it keeps its fur white, real white. You know how they hunt it? What they do is they go and they find out where it's living, and they put tar around its hole. When it comes up to its hole to go in, the dogs are chasing it, it won't go in. It don't want to get dirty. So what it does, and there in turn, it turns around and tries to fight the dogs, and then the hunter's coming to get it. That's how they get it. It does not want to spot its fur up whatsoever. Man, I'm going to tell you what, Christians could use a little lesson from that. You know that? We try to live as close to the world as we can without going over, but yet not knowing there in turn, when we do these things, we're drawing ourselves right closer to it. The devil's getting us right where he wants us. We have to try to remain unspotted from this world, folks. We got to try. We have to try. The Lord wants us to. And if you want pure religion and undefiled before God, He said in the Father to visit the fathers and the widows and their friends, and to keep Himself unspotted from the world. How did you do on the test this morning? How did we do on the test? I'll tell you what. God showed me a lot of my shortcomings. You understand that? I'm not preaching just to you. I'm preaching to me also. God showed me a lot of my shortcomings. I tell you what, I had to go back. When I took His test, I said, oh my, am I doing what You want me to do, Lord? Am I doing what you had called me to do? Or am I preaching the way You want? Am I staying unspotted from the world sometimes? And I tell you what, I had to look at my own self in the mirror of the gospel. And I figured out, you know what? I come up short on this test. I'm asking you, how about you? How about you this morning? You know what? Whatever tells any man among you seem religious, you know what? I don't like religion. But you know what? I like to be able to serve Christ in spirit and in truth. And as long as I do that, praise God this morning, I tell you what, I'll be what He wants me to be. And you can be too. They come and get a song, please.